Tonight, we come as a church family to the Lord's table. And I want us to go to Mark chapter 14. And I just want us to gather around the table. And this is a message that's kind of geared to a family chat. Nothing that's going to certainly be new tonight. There's no new truth under the sun, really. And as we look at this text and think about the context in which Jesus gave it to us as he was working with his disciples. And from time to time, I get questions from visitors, like I did this morning. I mentioned that someone asked about giving. And many times recently, I have fielded several questions about why we're Baptist and why we do what we do. And that lets us know that our church has grown, and there is a large portion of our church that would benefit greatly from the Baptist distinctives. And many of us know them. And as a pastor, you just can't preach something one time and think that everyone gets it. Now, I have a bad habit of doing that. So I have to make myself realize that, hey, things deserve repetition. It's theological mucilage. But our church grows and we have new people come, and they may not come from a Baptist background, or some get saved. Talked to a man this morning, and he's very interested in our church. And he comes from a completely different denomination. And so he's asking questions about why we do what we do. And those are great questions. So as we grow our church and as we have opportunity to look at the Baptist distinctives from time to time, or at this tonight, the Lord's table, it's really a time when our church family gets together and we act out a sermon that the Lord gave us. And this is a time in which we have children in our audience tonight, and so they need to learn about why we do things. Children ask questions. What's the juice? You know, what's the cracker? What's with it, Mom? And they ask questions, and it's a right thing to do, and we have opportunity to help them with that. When Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he was preparing the disciples, knowing, being very God himself, that they would become the early pastors of the church. He was constantly preparing them. Now, we see that all the time. And though the church was not empowered, it was being equipped until Pentecost. It was being equipped by our Savior himself. And he was using these classroom times with the disciples to help them understand that. And one of those times is here in our text in Mark chapter 14. Let's begin reading in verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Now that was looking future. Now our Lord knew all about the future. Our disciples did not know. And so he was talking about one day being in kingdom life, enjoying fellowship together. The disciples had so many questions about Jesus and his ministry and why he was doing some of the things that he was doing. And then look at the last verse that we'll include in this text tonight. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And that's why often we sing a hymn at the end of our communion service. As we come to the Lord's table tonight, we come to this passage where it reveals our Savior's passion about what he was trying to get across to the disciples. And he knew that every truth that he could lodge in the mind and heart of a disciple, that it would carry with him into the first century church. He understood that. Our Savior understood that. And we can understand that looking on this side and looking back into church history. It was a look into the future, and yet the disciples was unsure about that future. They were really confused many times throughout Jesus's ministry, especially when it came to the crucifixion. They just didn't understand that, and Jesus had to take time to explain it. By the time we get into the first century church, and the Apostle Paul is planting churches, and he's now at Corinth, and he's trying to help them get through some very difficult times. And one of the things that they had allowed happen is that the love feast, they had perverted the love feast. And so Paul was saying to the church at Corinth, you need to pull back, rein all this in, and realize that you're not coming to this church service and in a communion service to have a love feast. And many of them were abusing the love feast. They would use it to get their little groups together. And so there was a lot of unrest in the early church over that. They were spouting over it and feuding over it. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians deals with this very thing. And he gives us in this chapter, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read some verses from that great chapter, chapter 11. And he gives us some truths that will help us understand what really the Lord's table is all about as we come to it tonight. First of all, I would like to point out by way of 1 Corinthians 11 that it is a time of examination. I mentioned that recently, even this morning. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So Paul was really putting the pressure on the church there at Corinth, and it's a time in which we come around this table and we have an opportunity before we act out this sermon to look within our own selves. How is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ? How am I doing in that department? And that's going to be reflected toward your attitude toward authorities. That's going to be reflected in your relationship with others, in your family, people that you work with, people that you worship with. All of that should be taken into consideration. That as we come to the Lord's table, that we do not want to come abusing our privilege. It is an acted out sermon. We are showing the death, burial, and resurrection and soon return of our Savior by coming to this table. And so we have great opportunity to say, okay, let's examine ourselves. In just a few moments, we're going to take time to examine ourselves. We're going to take time and ask the Lord to speak to us. And we want to be sure that we are right with Him. We just do not want to flippantly come to the Lord's table and say, well, this is something we do about once a month. And it's just, it becomes a ritual to us. It becomes a tradition to us. I don't want it to ever become like that. I want us to come to the Lord's table fresh and understanding that, hey, I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for my choices in life. And it's unwise to live your life selfishly and sinfully, and then come to the Lord's table. It would be better if you're not willing to examine yourself and willing to get yourself right with Him, not to participate at all, than to participate and mock the shed blood and the broken body of our Savior. And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying here to this church. So this is just not a time in which we say, oh, we got communion tonight, let's just go through this quickly. It's not that way. It should be something that we stop and we really think about. It's a time of examination. But also it's a time of communication, where we actually speak to God about it. We commune with Him. And when they had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And here we find that there has been some giving of thanks. So I would encourage you that even though we do pray before we have communion, and we do it in different ways, but I would encourage you, because you've made an examination, that while you hold that cup and while you think of that piece of bread representing the broken body of Christ and that cup, the shed blood of the Lord, thank Him for it. Where would we be today without Jesus Christ? Where would our lives be headed? What would we be doing? It was the grace of God that arrested our attention one day, and we got saved, and God turned our lives around. And because of that, this table is a time that you can communicate through prayer and speak to your Savior personally and say, "Thank you, Lord, for dying for me." Salvation is a personal thing. It's not a household doctrine. It's not a church doctrine where everyone just gets saved in the church or everyone in the house gets saved. It's a personal doctrine. When we realize that we have sinned against Him, and He is holy and we are unholy, and because of that, we can thank Him. We can communicate to Him and have an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, if we're not willing to examine ourselves, how will we ever be properly thankful for what God has done? Because instead, we will be mocking. And so we want to be sure that when we speak to Him, that He hears us. We want to be sure that we sing His praises and thank Him for what He has done for us. And then also in 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul taught them that communion was a time in which they could show appreciation. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death." And you can be appreciative of what the Lamb of God has done. Do you realize that when you and I got saved, and I say this often, we got saved from all walks of life, God has put us here as a church family. And we are most unique. The Bible calls us peculiar people. We are most unique. Do you know that we have a spiritual DNA that no other church has? It cannot be like it in any other church. It's because we are different. We are made up of people who were saved from all walks of life, and because we got saved, God now calls us to worship together. We're an ecclesia. We are a called out body of believers. And now we're here worshiping together. We're fixing to take the Lord's Supper, examine ourselves. It's a time of examination, a time of communication, and it's a time of appreciation. And it would be good for you to look across the aisle or look at the person next to you and show them your appreciation. Tell them. You're not trying to feather their cap or win some uncommon favor. You're not trying to be hypocritical about it. But I think sometimes we get so used to the rush and the hustle and bustle of life that we forgot to take time and forget to take time to just talk to one another and tell them how much you appreciate. You are here because someone influenced your life. And after you got here, someone has influenced your life. And it's always good to never forget that, because someone took an interest in you. And now you are fulfilling your calling. You have prayed about the church that you're involved in, that you're a member of. And it's only right to show appreciation. Get to know one another in a great way. So as we think about communion, I want to just give you three thoughts tonight as we come to the table. And the first of three is the nature of this ordinance. This is a symbolic ordinance. And because it's symbolic, it does not turn into the body and blood of Christ as some religions believe. Taking this element does not save you. This is an acted out sermon It's a memorial. It's a special time when you can communicate, examine yourself, communicate, and show appreciation for what the Lord has done for you and the privilege He's given you to come in this local church setting. If you're not a member of our church and you have been saved and you've been scripturally baptized, we encourage you to join us at the table. It's a time in which you can join in with us. We do believe in close communion, not closed, but close communion. And we invite you to the table. It is a local church ordinance. And so every time it is ever mentioned in Scripture, it's mentioned in a local church context. So we do not take the Lord's Supper out of the church. We have the Lord's Supper in a service. We choose not to take communion, for instance, to nursing homes or hospitals. There's no saving merit in any of that. And many times what happens is when someone would do that, they, if we're not careful, they could think that they're saving grace in that. You know, the thief was never baptized. That's an ordinance of the Baptist church. And yet he went to heaven. You can go to heaven having never taken communion. And sometimes I think what has happened is man's religion has made it part of salvation. And so we choose and have down through the history of our church, and as Fundamental Baptist Churches have done this, we choose not to take it to a hospital or a nursing home or a home. One of the senior citizens a few months ago said, "Pastor, sometimes it's hard for us to get out. Could we have communion every now and then on a Sunday morning?" And I said, "Of course we can." And we did. A month or so later, we had it on a Sunday morning. And so there's no set time. As oft as you do it, some churches do it every week, some once a month, some once a quarter. I was a member of a church that did it only twice a year. Some churches only do it one time a year. Doesn't matter how often that we do it. It's the fact that when we do it, that we do it with a high regard of Scripture. And that we watch very carefully what the Scriptures say. We do not make salvation out of it. It is symbolic. The broken bread is a symbol of the broken body of Christ. The grape juice in the little cup is just a representation of the shed blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. It's a time, of course, in which we can give thanks. And we can do that as oft as we come together. So as we come to the table tonight, we come kind of an off night. It's kind of in between. We are staging it. We staffed it out to stage it for the next time we have it. It's going to be a very special time. So when we come to the table tonight, may I encourage you to examine yourself and communicate with the Lord and show Him your appreciation that you do thank Him for saving you. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can become very used to being a Christian. You have to remember that when you read church history and what it cost our church fathers behind us for us to have this communion service, there are men and women who died for the truth of the ordinances of the church. You read about it in church history. You read about the Anabaptist story, and you read these things, and you can see that sometimes in the 21st century, we can be, hurry up and get this over with, and it loses its luster and what the Lord really wants us to know about it. I don't want us to ever let it lose its luster and its freshness. The second thought that I'd like to leave with you tonight is that the design of the ordinance. It represents the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ and what He did for us on the cross. He said in our text, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." In other words, He shed His blood that we might be able to be saved. That's the only way in which we can be saved. Without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of our sins. And so Jesus Christ could not drown in save us. Jesus Christ had to shed His blood to save us. And because He shed His blood to save us, when we hold that little cup in our hand in just a few moments, It is symbolic of his shed blood. How dare we take that lightly? This is a serious time. This is the time that we call it communion. We commune with him. It's a time of worship when we come. The shed blood atones for our sins. We're depraved. Without it, we would be damned to hell. Without it, there would be no way of salvation. And that's why salvation should never become old hat to us. Salvation should never become, we should never get used to it. That's why salvation should make us sensitive to the daily choices in our life. How can we flippantly make sinful choices as a believer? Some people look at church like a club. They look at it like an organization of a nonprofit. It's not about a personal relationship. It's more or less, what can I get out of this? Or how can I use the church? Or what friends can I get from the church? And oftentimes we forget the purpose of even the shed blood of our Savior. It proves that we're sinful and that we're in need, desperate need, need to be saved, need to have our sins washed. It is an exhibition of the mission of Christ and the truth of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and his soon return. It is sure evidence that Christ is coming again. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. That's a great verse. 1 Corinthians 11:26. It's a wonderful verse that reminds us Christ is coming again. So when we really look at this ordinance, it's pretty sobering that we just do not flippantly view it as, oh, this is just one of those things that we do every now and then, but it has real meaning and purpose. It forces us to turn our eyes within and examine ourselves. It forces us to commune with him. So as you hold that piece of bread that represents his broken body, and as you hold that cup tonight, that represents what Christ did for us on Calvary. And we can't just do that lightly with sin in our heart, or having never been saved. Just don't do that. That's why we teach our children, one day you will understand. Answer their questions the best you can. One day you will understand what this is all about. And one day they will. You'll have the privilege of helping them, teaching them to know it. And then as we gather around this table, it depicts the character and mission of our Savior and his love for us. Even though we were sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. And because of that unconditional love, we have an opportunity to come to the table tonight and say, thank you, Lord. I want to say thank you, Lord, for dying for me personally. I take this cup seriously. It's representative of your shed blood. It cost you your life. You suffered and died for my sin. And you give me the privilege to celebrate a memorial through the ordinance of the Lord's table. What a privilege we have. Every one of us should feel unworthy. We don't deserve to come to the table. But God has afforded it to us because he knows as human beings, we need to be reminded over and over and over again of his sacrificial love for us. So he does that to help us as a local church. His atonement for our sins as we applied the blood to our own lives. And to think that he did all of that. He went to the cross with no sin in him. Never committed a sin, yet he became sin for us. That we, by his grace, who are sinners, can be set free from our sin. can have the promise of heaven. And people who live their life for today, and they live their life for what they can get out of life, and they have no time for God, and they only use God when they have to use Him, or when they want to use Him. And their life never really changes. And they go from one crisis to another. They go from one event in their life to another. My heart hurts for people like that. When they have no real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And no wonder they struggle in communicating that to their friends and their family. That's a struggle. You see, this table has a broader picture than what we think. This table tonight has brought our local church together. And here we are, being instructed, being edified. From this table comes evangelism, edification. The Christian life becomes exciting. We find the call of God and the will of God for our life. We get encouragement when we come. We find that there are other believers that have struggles just like we do. And then there's the enjoyment factor. People that we meet, friends that we make. I never had the privilege of growing up with my siblings. I grew up with them, but I'm the only one that left. Dolly and I never had a life in Macon since 1976. We went from time to time, went back home for holidays, but it was never the same. And you know, my brother that was here a week ago tonight, and my other brother that was here this morning, I'm as close to both of those men. Both of those men pray for me. Both of those men call me from time to time. My brother more often than my friend Richard. But what am I saying? I'm saying we meet some of the greatest friends in church. Some of you have become friends. Nothing wrong with that. I'm glad. It's good for you to fellowship with others. It's good for you to get a circle of friends. It's healthy. Don't be recluse. Fellowship is so important. And remember that God can give you more than one or two or three friends. He can broaden that. And the local church is a place of excitement for the Lord, enjoyment, encouragement, enthusiasm. We have enthusiasm here. Evangelism, edification, all of these spring out. And here we are as a local church, gathered around the Lord's table, having received a young couple into our membership today, having a young man come interested in baptism, wanting to join our church, seeing what the Lord has done in the last several weeks in our church, last several years. Without one ounce of unsanctified pride, I can't tell you how I felt when I took Richard and Peggy through this building Saturday afternoon and pointed out what all God has done here. It's amazing. And when they came in and stepped into my study, Pastor was back there, and I was able to say, and this is our Pastor Emeritus, and this is his vision. He was the one who found this property, and God led him to it, and God did a miracle. And I told him the story. This is a miracle church. We have a great place here. Enjoy it. Love your neighbor that sits in front of you and behind you. Get to know them. Why? Because we are a body of people that's coming together tonight to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and His soon return. And God would want all of you who are saved and right with Him, He would want every one of you to participate. So as we have an examination, we would call it the invitation. We invite you to examine yourself. be sure you're right with the Lord. Be sure everything is right vertically and everything is right horizontally. With your friends, with your family, with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents, with your boss. Make things right with your teacher. And come to the Lord's table tonight with a clear conscience and with one main thing on your mind. This is a privilege and an honor. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and giving me the privilege to act out this simple memorial sermon. Let God speak to your heart tonight about that. Would you stand with me, please?